السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
بايز عبد الرحمن،
نعم يا شيخ.
نبدأ.
نعم يا شيخ.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. أما بعد، our book is Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari Rahimahullah, Muhammad ibn Ismail, and we have been discussing the various lines of conduct of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Adab Al-Mufrad is specifically compiled about the manners of a Muslim. How does a Muslim in his day-to-day affairs, how does he conduct himself? We have read about 600 and above ahadith regarding the conduct of a Muslim. How does he relate? How does he also handle people's relationship with him? In the last class, we started a whole other aspect of the life of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, in terms of his conduct. And those are the things that have to do with his personal adhkar and his dua, how he gives the remembrance of Allah in every circumstance, and how he observes supplication, praying to Allah, asking for what he wants, or asking for people. We reminded us that the adhkars are divided into two, or the dua are in two forms. Those are that are thana, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you say Allahu Akbar, you are making thana. It is called dhikru thana. If you say la ilaha illallah, la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, subhanallah, and all of these, they are thana'u of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, praising him, declaring him free from all imperfections. And all of these, they are a major aspect of dua or adhkar. The second major aspects of dua or adhkar are those that have to do with asking Allah for our needs, like saying Rabbana atina fi dunya. You see, atina has to do with asking, give us. When you say astaghfirullah, you are asking, and things like these. These are the second major aspects of adhkar, asking Allah for our needs. So these part of, or this part of Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, they have to do with the manners and the conduct of the Prophet and his companions radiallahu anhum, in terms of asking Allah for what they need, or in terms of praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first chapter we read regarding that was Ma yakulu idha asbaha. Just one of the things the Prophet will say alayhi salatu wasalam, idha asbaha, when he wakes from the things that the Prophet will say alayhi salatu wasalam, will say asbahna wa asbaha al-mulku lillah kulluhu lillah la sharika lah la ilaha illallah wa ilayhi an-nushur. And likewise, when the evening falls, he will say alayhi salatu wasalam, amsayna وأمس الملك لله والحمد كله لله لا شريك له لا إله إلا الله وإليه المصير. This ذكر الثناء or this دعاء الثناء, you will see in this case that it is from the first kinds of أذكارs. Those أذكارs that have to do with praising Allah. And this ذكر has come with various expressions. One of them is just what we have read. And it in itself is just one from the many of the أذكارs that we say every morning and every minute and every evening. So it appears as if Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah just brought this to give us a reminder. Don't forget all the rest of the daily adhkars that you make, the ones with which you start your day as soon as you wake up on the bed. Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'dama amatana wa ilayhi nushur. This is zikr thana. In all of it, you are praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are some others we even say when we wake up in the middle of the night, we look in the sky. We say, Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wal nahar la ayatin li uli al-albab, and so on. The last portions of Surah to Ali Imran. It is from the Sunnah to say that to those adhkars are many. The ones you say when you get into the bathroom, the ones you say when you come out of the bathroom. So it's as if, and Allah knows best, that Imam al-Bukhari mentioned ma yakulu idha asbaha, by way of calling our attention so that we remember all those adhkars of morning, of evening, of waking up, and all other circumstances, while this one serves as the reminder for us. We also remember that we referred us in the last class to a book like Hisnul Muslim that has been well and duly compiled. The author has passed away, may Allah forgive him. We also reminded us that the book occurs, one of the brothers said it occurs even in the voice of MP3. I know that it occurs in the book form. I have the sharh, the commentary of it by the author himself and by other scholars. I have reviewed its translation in English, published in England, and so on. So the book is a very blessed book and has been translated to over 100 languages of the world. There are various apps about these adhkars. Adhkars of various times, in the morning, in the afternoon, the evening, so that in the end, if you follow these, we end up becoming from those that Allah mentioned as الذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات. Allah mentioned that أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا كريما وأجرا عظيما. I have preserved مغفرة, a vast, huge forgiveness for them. وَأَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. And then we will also be from people that Allah mentions amongst the angels, because Allah says, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ وَشْكُرُوا لِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. So if we go to study this book, Hisnul Muslim, that we have referred us to, and we begin to use those adhkars in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, when we go out, when we come back home, when we eat food, when we end food, when we wear our clothes, when we undress, when we come out, and all of these, when we become used to them, we become from amongst الذاكرون الله كثيرا والذاكرات. So this is what we did in the last class, and that will bring us to the next bab, the next chapter in our book, Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, where Al-Imam Al-Bukhari is also telling us about one of the major manners of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his lines of conduct regarding adhkars and dua. This time, dua ul-mas'ala, the dua of asking and requesting from Allah, and that is that babun man da'a fi ghayrihi min ad-du'a, man da'a fi ghayrihi min ad-du'a, yani man da'a li ghayrihi fi ad-du'a, man da'a li ghayrihi fi ad-du'a. The individual, one of the manners of our supplication is that the individual will make dua, yad'u li ghayrihi min ad-du'a. You will be supplicating for your brother in your dua, in your supplications. You are making dua, and then in your dua, you supplicate for your brother in it. You supplicate for your sister in that. You supplicate for your parents in the dua. You supplicate for your siblings in the dua. You supplicate for your husband or your wife or your neighbor or your colleague at work or your boss at work or your teacher or your student, supplicating for others while making dua. Babu man da'a fi ghayrihi min ad-du'a. The chapter regarding the one who will supplicate for other than himself while he's making dua. There are two things inside this chapter heading. The first one is an encouragement to make dua. If you are not a person who pays attention to dua, how can we be telling you make dua for others? If you are not a person who is used to making dua, and in our own times, we are very poor. We are very lax regarding dua. In our own generation, our attention comes onto more of what we are able to do by ourselves, or those things we think that we are able to do. So in every situation, we are always thinking, what can I do? How can I do this? How can I do that? Rather than always ever starting our affairs with what? With dua. And even when we think that we are able, putting forward dua and asking Allah for ease in everything that we do, in our times, our reliance is much of what we think we are able to do. So when we are like this, how then will we be able to fulfill making dua for others? How then would we be able to fulfill making dua for our children? In terms of child upbringing now, we are usually concerned about the schools we have put them into, the madrasa we have put them into, the cost of the madrasa or the cost of the school for those of us who pay attention to both of them. Some of us don't even pay attention to even having children at 10 madrasas or madaris. Our attention is the school they have gone, they pay 1.5 million, they pay 2 million, this is our concern. So we think that once we are able to do that, we have guaranteed a future for our children. And that's a big mistake. So that makes us forget making dua, dua, dua for the children. We forget dua, 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 dua. O Allah, make my child righteous. O Allah, guide my child. O Allah, guide my child. O Allah, guide him. O Allah, make him know. O Allah, grant him good character. Grant him good manners. O Allah, we forget it. Why? We feel that it is guaranteed for him. He has a safe future. Once we are able to place the children in a school where the school fees is in millions, we think that we have done it all. The same thing applies regarding marriage. Women set boxes. They say once you tick all the boxes, you think that you have it all in terms of a good husband, and vice versa. So the same thing applies in workplaces. When someone comes to apply for a job, he has a very good CV. You interview him, everything looks okay. You think you have it already. We forget the position of dua. In many places, all these things, we get them, it is fitna that we finally end up. We see it, that despite as it appears to us, it might not have been the best decision for us. Why? We have placed dua behind. We rely more on our presumed abilities, things we think we can do. So because we think we are now wise, we think we are able, we think we are rich, we think we have power, we think we have connections, we think we have abilities, so we think less of supplicating for Allah and asking for our needs. We think less of that because we think we overblow our abilities. So you see, a person, yes, he's actually doing it, but the results are not coming up. Why? He has left asking Allah. So Allah also left him behind, because Allah does not like that we do not make dua. He wants us to make dua. In the last verse in Surah Al-Furqan, Allah says, "Qul," say to them, "Ma ya'ba'u bikum rabbi lawla du'a'ukum." If not for your dua, Allah does not count you as anything. Allah wants us to make dua, 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 ikhwa, dua. It is when we make dua that you can make dua for others. And this chapter is about making dua for others. But I say it's not just about making dua for others. It has in it, because it says, minad dua. You are making dua already. But inside that your dua, you make dua for your brother. So it's talking about two things. It is encouraging us to make dua. Allah told us in many verses in the Quran. One place he says, "Wasta'inu bis-sabri was-salah." As-salah to hear is dua. Ista'inu, ask for help and support from Allah bis-sabri, by being patient. Was-salat, this salat is dua. Dua. Even when we give zakah, Allah told the Prophet to make dua for us. He says, "Khud min amwalihim sadaqatan tutahhiruhum wa tuzakkihim biha wa salli alayhim inna salataka salli alayhim." Make dua for them, because your dua sakanun lahum, is tranquility for them. So always you see the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam making dua for himself and making dua for us. Allah wants us to be making dua, both types of dua, the dua of thana and the dua of al-mas'ala, asking, Allah give me, Allah give me. Allah likes us to be like that. So when we are used to that, because anybody who is about 50 years old and above now, look at it, your parents make dua than you do. If you are ever 50 now, many of us from age 50 and above, you will see that your parents are always, always making dua, much more than we make dua in our own times. So, ikhwa, I like to encourage myself and the rest of us, let us be making a lot of dua. Let us be begging Allah, asking him, even when, like the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as reported of him in a hadith, even if it has to do regarding the lace of your shoes, make dua. Even if it be regarded as simple as you want to lace your shoe, make, beg Allah for ease regarding it. As easy as it is that someone wants to lace his shoes, tie the ropes, let me be clearer, tie the rope of your shoe. Even regarding that, you are asking Allah for ease. This was how the Prophet was with the companions, radiallahu anhum. They asked Allah for everything. Allah says, "Was'alu Allaha min fadlihi," ask Allah from his bounties. "Sa'alu Allaha," was'alu Allaha min fadli, ask Allah, beg him, request from him. But we are very, very poor regarding all these days, because we much more rely on our abilities, whether mental or physical or social abilities, or our pockets, our economic abilities. Those are the things that make us feel that we are able. So we leave aside dua, or we fall short regarding dua. So I like to encourage for all of us, Allah wants us to ask. Ask me, ud'uni astajib lakum. Ask me, I will answer you, I will grant it. Inna alladhina yastakbiruna an ibadati. Some of the people are too arrogant to ask Allah. He promised them punishment. Sayadkhuluna jahannama dakhirin. So Allah wants us to ask, 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 request, request. So from the major things to request is to make dua for your brother. This is the second point in this chapter heading. Making dua for your brother, making dua for your sister, making dua for your husband, make dua for your wife. Many people complain a lot without making dua for their spouses. When last were you on sujood, you are praying for your children? When last was that? When last was that? You were on sujood making dua for your children, for their success, for their guidance, for their righteousness, for their uprightness, for their protection, for sound health. When last were you in sujood making dua for your children? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu, it was said that once he was in the middle of the night making dua. His son was telling, my father, you still soon. I say, it's because of you. I'm making dua for you. You are the one for which I'm standing so long in the middle of the night. You. So, but for us, all that we think is that we have sent them to big school, they are paying big school fees, they are wearing fine school uniforms. After all, they are learning coding. We think that once all these things appear straight, then success is guaranteed. It's a big mistake. Make dua for yourself, make dua for others. In simple terms, that's what we are discussing today. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make dua for others. In fact, in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ma min mu'minin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb. Ma min muslimin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb illa qala al-malak al-muwakkal amin wa laka bi mithlihi." There is not a person of Iman يدعو لأخيه بظهر الغيب, making dua for his brother behind him. There is not a person of Iman. You are making dua, you are making the dua for your brother. Oh Allah, my brother Usman, make him have sound health. Grant him this, grant him that, grant him this, grant him a safe home, grant him this, grant him a good job, make him a better person of Iman. Ma min mu'minin yad'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb illa qala al-malak al-muwakkal. Except that the angel that is placed in charge begins to say what? Ameen, ameen. He will say ameen to the dua you say to your brother. The angel will say ameen when you make dua for your brother. The angel will say ameen, ameen. Then he will make dua for you. Walaka bimithlihi. Walaka bimithlihi. And may you get the like of what you ask for him. So if you ask for goodness for your brother, may you get the like of that. He will only say Ameen. Ameen means that may Allah accept it. Allahumma stajib. Oh Allah, answer what we have said. That is the meaning of saying Ameen. So he's also making the dua that your own dua should be accepted. By who? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when he says walaka bimithlihi, he is saying his dua to you. The angel now makes dua for you. Which one is more likely to be accepted? The one you made for the other brother, or the one that the angel made for you? This hadith occurs in Sahih Muslim, that ma min mu'minin يدعو لأخيه بظهر الغيب إلا قال الملك الموكل آمين ولك بمثله آمين ولك بمثله آمين ولك. الإمام النووي رحمه الله, when he explained this verse, he says, كان بعض السلف, one of the early Muslims, إذا أراد شيئا من الله, when he desires anything from Allah, da'a bihi li akhihi, he asks Allah for that thing for his brother. He wants a wife. He looks, which of my brothers need a wife? He prays Allah, Allah grant my brother a wife. So that what? Allah grants him a wife. Whatever he wants. He looks for the one amongst his brother who needs that thing. He begs Allah for him and Allah grants it. I remember some years ago between myself and one of the brothers, one of the imams in one of the masajids in Lagos. We were just discussing and one of us said, I wouldn't remember whether I was the one or he was the one. We were saying that, and I like to make Umrah. Some years ago, I like to make Umrah, make Tawaf, make this. He said, I'm also just, in fact, as you are saying it, I'm just thinking it was what I was thinking about before you started saying it. So the both of us, we began to relish making Umrah, making Tawaf. But we said we did not have the money. So, well, may Allah take us. He now said, Abu Nasir, make dua for me that Allah should take me. I will be making dua for you that Allah should take you. So we took that agreement amongst the two of us and we left. Wallahi, it was not up to a month. It was not up to 2 weeks. He just called me back. What happened? One of the people in his community said he wants to make Umrah and Imam should come with him. The Imam said, I'm preparing to actually go, but not now. He said, we can go together. I can go with you. I can say, but we are two. We are both preparing. Once we are ready, we'll say, no, the two of you and myself, the three of us. That was how less than 2 weeks we went for Umrah and returned. We spent 10 days. So the 5-star Umrah trip. The point here is if you want something, make dua for that thing for your brother. Ma'amin, meaning, yadu'u li akhihi bi zahari al-ghayb illa qala al-malak al-muwakkal. Except that the angel placed in charge of him begins to say what? Ameen. When you make dua for your brother, you want admission, you're an undergraduate. Oh Allah, my brother so and so, he's an undergraduate. Make him get his admission, make things work easily for him, make them choose him, and all of this, Allah will grant you that. When you make dua for your brother, the angel begins to say, Ameen, walaka bimithlihi. Ameen, walaka bimithlihi. May you get the like of what you ask for your brother. It is something that we are so, so encouraged in Islam, making dua for ourselves and making dua for our brothers. The one you ask for your brother, the angel will ask Allah to give you the like of that. Don't forget, make dua for yourself, make dua for your brothers. And when you do that, be conscious in your dua. May Allah accept our dua. This is what Al-Imam al-Bukhari calls our attention to in Hadith 605 in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So he said, حدثنا محمد ابن سلام قال أخبرنا عبده قال أخبرنا محمد ابن عمرو قال حدثنا أبو سلمة عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الكريم ابن الكريم ابن الكريم ابن الكريم إن الكريم Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, that is four. Inna al-Karima, Ibn al-Karimi, Ibn al-Karim, Ibn al-Karim, Yusuf Ibn Ya'qub, Ibn Ishaq, Ibn Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman. Tabaraka wa ta'ala, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, لو لبست في السجن ما لبث يوسف ثم جاءني الدائي لأجبت إذ جاءه الرسول فقال ارجع إلى ربك فاسأله ما بال النسوة اللاتي قطعن أيديهن ورحمة الله على لوط إن كان ليأوي إلى ركن شديد إذ قال لقومه لو أن لي بكم قوة أو آوي إلى ركن شديد فما بعث الله بعده من نبي إلا في ثروة من قومه قال محمد الثروة الكثرة والمنع. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله, he starts the isnad of this hadith from his well-known sheikh الإمام محمد بن سلام البيكندي، محمد بن سلام أبو جعفر رحمه الله البيكندي. He is the one from whom الإمام البخاري has reported this hadith. الإمام البخاري starts this hadith from the report of Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, from the first amongst his teachers, because he was from the teachers from Ma Wara al-Nahr, those scholars from those areas like Samarkand, like Balkh, like Tirmidh, like Bukhara, those part of the world. Scholars refer to them as Ulama Ma Wara al-Nahri, the scholars who come from behind the river. The river they intend is River Oxus, Nahru Jihun. Those scholars are referred to as Ulama Ma Wara al-Nahri. One of them is Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi rahimahullah. He said, Akhbarana Abda. Abdah ibn Suleiman, Abu Muhammad al-Kilai, Abdah ibn Suleiman, Abu Muhammad al-Kilai is the Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Bikandi in this isnad. He is reporting from that well-known scholar of Hadith, Muhammad ibn Amr ibn al-Qama ibn Waqas al-Laythi. His grandfather, Al-Qama ibn Waqas al-Laythi, was a well-known scholar of Hadith and Sunnah. So Muhammad ibn Amr is the grandson of Al-Qama ibn Waqas al-Laythi. He, Amru, reports the Hadith from Abu Salama. Abu Salama in this isnad is the son of Abdurrahman ibn Auf, and he is reporting the Hadith from his teacher, well-known of him, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, who said, Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, Inna al-Karima ibn al-Karimi, ibn al-Karim, ibn al-Karim. Certainly, al-Karim, the person who is noble, the person who is of nobility, a person of esteem, a person of respect. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna al-Karim, certainly the person of esteem and honor, Ibn al-Karim, who is also a person of honor and esteem, al-Karim, a person of honor and esteem, Ibn al-Karim, who is also a person of honor and esteem, Ibn al-Karim, who is also a person of honor and esteem, Ibn al-Karim, who in turn is another person of, the son of another person of honor and esteem, the person of honor and esteem, who is the son of the person of honor and esteem, who is the son of a person of honor and esteem, who is the son of a person of honor, esteem, and nobility. That is Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Yusuf was a person of honor and esteem alayhi salatu wasalam. From the first and the most important things of honor that Allah gave to Yusuf was the honor. The scholars say sharafu nubuwa, the honor of being a prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam. Being a prophet of Allah was a big honor for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. There's a second honor, sharaful ilm, the honor of knowledge. Yusuf was very knowledgeable. And one of the things he was very knowledgeable about was what? Ilmu ta'wil ru'ya. He even praised Allah regarding it. Allamani ya Rabbi. He said, Allah taught me that one. Having good knowledge of dreams. Not just that, ability to see good dreams and interpret dreams. Allah gave it to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Did you not see Surah to Yusuf? The entirety of the Surah is one single dream. Inside that dream, There were how many other dreams? Three other dreams inside one single dream of Yusuf. One dream had three dreams in it. I hope that we understand. One dream was going to be fulfilled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And inside that one dream, there were three other dreams that happened as that one was going to be fulfilled. The one single dream was the dream of Yusuf. Ra'aytu ahad ashara kawkaba. I saw 11 stars. Was shamsa wal qamar. Then I saw the sun and the moon. I saw all of them. Ra'aytu hum li sajidin. I saw them all prostrating to me. You could see this one dream of Yusuf. It was going to happen as he has dreamt it. In the process of that happening, three other dreams came happening. So it was a gift from Allah to him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. So he had sharaful ilm, the honor of what? Knowledge. He had the honor of nubuwa. He had the honor of knowledge. He had the honor of jamal. He had the honor of handsomeness. Because don't forget, Yusuf is one of the most handsome of the creatures of Allah amongst we human beings. Very, 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 very handsome. Yusuf was very handsome. Alayhi salatu wasalam. His handsomeness was also a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had sharaful fiqh. He was a person of deep understanding. Did you not see how he managed to be sure that his brother brought back their father and their family? How did he do that? How was he able to keep his brother Bunyamin? It was because a lot of fiqh. He was able to force keep his brother. He was able to make them bring him. How was he able to keep him? How was he able to do all of that together with his brothers? And they were all older than him except his younger brother Bunyamin. So he was a person of deep understanding. He had very big understanding. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In the terms of the knowledge of the religion and the knowledge of dunya. Then number five, Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had sharafu husnil khulq. He had the honor of good character. Alayhi salatu wasalam. In all of the story from beginning to the end, one of the things that was superb about Yusuf was at the end of it, he had recognized them and they did not recognize him. To the extent they start asking him, I did not confirm rightly and start Anna Yusuf, I'm Yusuf. Put him into a well. Carefulness.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة
الله وبركاته.
وعليكم
أبو عبد
السلام
الرحمن،
ورحمة الله وبركاته.
I got signed out and I found it difficult to come in again. It said the platform was filled up.
Yes, yes, sir. We are already.
So we have to start thinking about expanding it. May Allah make it easy. What was the last thing you heard from me?
We're talking about the nobility of Prophet
Yusuf. I had mentioned about three or four things. I mentioned Sharafun Nubuwa, the nobility of being a prophet of Allah. I also mentioned Sharaful Ilm, the nobility of being very knowledgeable, alayhi salatu wassalam. I mentioned Sharaful Jamal, the nobility of being very handsome, because Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam is from the most handsome of human beings. One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, was quite handsome. Yet he used to be referred to as Yusuful Ummah. His handsomeness used to be only compared with the handsomeness of Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. That he was handsome was from the favors of Allah on him, alayhi salatu wassalam. He also had Sharaful Fiqh. He had the virtue of being upon deep understanding, alayhi salatu wassalam, of the religion. The fifth one we're talking about was Sharafu Husn al-Khulq, the virtue of being upon sound character. Yusuf was on character. And I was going to say that we all, when relatives become untoward towards us, when they direct indecency towards us, we always quote that Arabic adage when they say al-aqrab al-aqrab. The relatives, they are akrab, they are what? Scorpions. Arabs say that relatives are scorpions. We always say that. But have we forgotten also the character of Yusuf? We always say Yusuf, even Yusuf, his relatives did what was bad to him. They threw him in the well, they did this, they did. So relatives could be as bad as that. Yes. But have we forgotten how Yusuf handled those situations? That is the one that Allah wants us to copy. Allah wants us to copy Yusuf alayhi salam. In the end, Yusuf pardoned his brothers. At the time, he had absolute power over them, except the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet he forgave. He said to them that, La tasrib alaykum al-yawm. Subhanallah. He even prayed for them. May Allah forgive you. May Allah also show mercy on you, the one who shows mercy. He allowed them to stay in the city together with him. Yusuf was upon sound character. At the time, the woman was inviting him to indecency. Later, when he was to be released from the prison, we shall soon come back to that. Yusuf mentioned that as khiyana. If he had become indecent with the woman, he said, that is khiyana. I want my boss to know that lam akhunhu bil ghaib. He was in his absence, I was never indecent. I never cheated behind him. And that Allah does not like kaidul kha'inin. And then he said that statement that when I say it, I become so disturbed. Wa ma ubari'u nafsi. We are coming back to that. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam had Sharafu Husn al-Khulq. He had the honor, the virtue of what? Good character. He also had the virtue of al-adl, justice, alayhi salam. He had the virtue of justice. He also had the virtue of al-riyasatu dunyawiya. How to coordinate riyasatu dunya, how to manage things from the affairs of the dunya of the people. All of these were things that Allah blessed Yusuf with, so you would understand that Yusuf was actually Kareem. Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. He was actually Kareem. So the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, Inna al-Kareem, Ibn al-Kareem. A person who is of sound nobility and esteem, who is now a person that was granted the son of another Kareem. One Kareem, the son of another Kareem. a noble person who happens to be the son of another noble person, who that second one happens to be the son of another noble person, and that third one now happens to be the son of another person, was who Yusuf alayhi salam. So he explained it, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first noble person was who Yusuf alayhi salam. And the second noble person was who Yaqub. Yaqub was very, very noble. He shared in many of what we had discussed about Yusuf. He had the knowledge of dreams too. When Yusuf told him his dream, he understood what it meant. He advised Yusuf. And despite all the behavior of his children, he was still patient with them. Alayhi salatu wasalam, Yaqub, and all of these. Most of what we mentioned regarding Yusuf, we also found it with what? Yaqub. So Yaqub was also what? Karim. Abul Karim. But Yusuf was Karim, Ibn al-Karim, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibn al-Karim. Yaqub is now the son of who? Ishaq, alayhi salatu wasalam. And Ishaq was also Karim. The son of who? Al-Karim. Another Karim. And that is the father of all of them. Who was that? Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ibrahim was the father of Ishaq. Ishaq was the father of who? Yaqub. Yaqub was the father of who? Yusuf. So that is Al-Karimu. Ibn al-Karimi. Ibn al-Karimi. Ibn al-Karim. The Prophet explained that, alayhi salatu wasalam, and said that Ishaq was the son of Ibrahim, Khalil al-Rahman, because Allah had mentioned Ibrahim as his Khalil. وَاتَّخَذَ اللَّهُ إِبْرَهِيمَ خَلِيلًا. Allah made Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam as his Khalil. And the status of the Khulla, the status of being a Khalil, is higher than merely saying the one who is loved, is so deep. In the way Allah loved Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, tabaraka wa ta'ala. And then the Prophet said again alayhi salatu wasalam, qala rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, law labistu fi sijni ma labitha yusuf thumma ja'ani da'i la ajabtu law labistu. The Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, law labistu ma labitha yusuf, if I was the one who stayed, law labistu ma labitha Yusuf, law labistu fi sijn, if I were to stay in a prison, ma labitha Yusuf, for as long as Yusuf remained, if I was the one, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam, thumma ja'ani da'i la ajabtu, and then someone calls to tell me, ja'ani da'i, the one who comes to deliver a message, comes to invite me, come out of the prison. La ajab to, I would have come out of the prison. But in the case of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Yusuf, instead of coming out, he said, irji'i ila rabbika fas'alhu, ila rabbika fas'alhu ma balun niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. We remember that portion in Yusuf. Irji' ila rabbika fas'alhu ma balu niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. Yusuf, when the messenger came to him from the king, after he interpreted the dream of the king loved Yusuf. He wanted to make Yusuf someone who was close to him. After Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam interpreted the dream, that those who were in the courtyard, in the midst of the king going about with him, they did not understand the dream. So when Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam understood the dream and gave them the interpretation, the king wanted Yusuf to come to wherever he was. So he says, Ituni bihi, go and bring Yusuf to me. When the person who was sent to bring Yusuf came to Yusuf Allah said, Falamma ja'ahu ar-rasulu qala irji' ila rabbik. When that messenger who was sent came to Yusuf, qala irji' ila rabbik fas'alhu ma balu an-niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. Go back to the king. Go and ask him, let them find out regarding those women, allati qatta'na aydiyahun, those who cut their hands. When the wife of Aziz, Imra'atu Aziz, that is the name that Allah called that woman, the wife of the governor, or the wife of Aziz, Imra'atu Aziz. Repeatedly in the Quran, that was the name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called that woman. Because in the Quran, no woman has been called by her actual name except Maryam. In the Quran, no woman has been called by her actual name except who? Maryam. Maryam's mother was called Imra'atu Imran. All other women, wa Maryam ibnata Imran. Allah mentioned Maryam, mentioned the name of her father. Apart from her, no woman. Even when he mentioned the wife of Firaun, he did not mention her name. He referred to her as the wife of Firaun. So the only woman mentioned by her name in the Quran was Maryam. So when Allah mentioned the wife of Aziz, he called him Imra'atu Aziz. At the beginning, Turawidu Fataha An-Nafsi. So in all of these, Allah was referring to that woman as Imra'atu Aziz. So Yusuf, when he was asked to come out, he was asking, Ma balu niswati allati qatta'na aydiyahun. What is it? Let them find out. Let them go and ask those women. Did I ever misbehave? Was I ever indecent? And all of that. And when they asked those women, the women said, Kulna hasha lillah ma alimna alayhim min su. We don't know Yusuf with any negative bad character. We didn't ever find out Yusuf being bad and indecent. Alayhi salatu wassalam. And that was when Imra'atu Aziz herself now said, Al-ana hashasal haqq. Now, at this time now, hashasal haqqu, the truth has become known. Zahar al-haqq, the truth has become clear. Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam, ana rawadtuhu an-nafsi. I was the one who was inviting Yusuf. I was the one who was being indecent towards Yusuf. Wa innahu lamina sadiqin. Yusuf wanted to be clarified. He wants to be vouched. He wants to be mentioned that I was innocent. I was never indecent. So in the time that all of these research and the women were being interrogated and asked about Yusuf, Yusuf was still in the prison, alayhi salatu wasalam. After when he was asked, he said, no, find out first. Let me remain. That was what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Law labithtu fi sijni ma labitha Yusuf. If I had been in the prison for as long as Yusuf was in the prison, summa ja'ani da'i la'ajabtu if ja'ahu rasul. If anyone came to me, the messenger came and said, hey, come out of the prison, the king wants you. True nibihi. The king say, hey, go and bring you. Say, hey, first of all, go and find out. I will not come out. Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, if sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I know that it was when Yusuf said that. He now went to say, ذَلِكَ لِيَعْلَمَ أَنِّي لَمْ أَخُنْهُ. The reason I did that is that I want my boss to know that lam akhunhu, I had not cheated him. He brought me into the house. He took care of me. He did everything. I never violated his honor. I never cheated regarding his home. Lam akhunhu bil ghayb, behind him, I never did anything bad. Alayhi salatu wassalam. Yusuf now even gave us a reminder that wa anna allaha la yahdi kayd al-kha'inin. If a person cheats people, they are nice to you, they brought you to their house, they spend on you, they do this and that, and you cheat the home, Yusuf called that as from Kaidul Kha'ini, evil plots of people, of the treacherous people, people who betray, evil trust, evil plots of betrayers. Kaidul Kha'ini. Then when he said it, maybe like he was looking for self-praise. Go, he says, Wama ubari'u nafsi. Inna nafsa la ammaratun bisu'i illa ma arahima rabbi. I am not doing this because I want praise. I just want the matters to be clear. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this also by way of making us understand that Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam was a very patient person. He was pointing to the patience of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. Then we come to the point of reference why Al-Bukhari cited this hadith. He says, "Wa rahmatullahi ala Lut." This is the dua of the Prophet for Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. The lesson we want to pick from this hadith was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Wa rahmatullahi ala Lut." May Allah's compassion, may Allah's mercy be upon who? Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya kana la ya'wi ila Rukniya Shadid, he had sought to take strength, to take reliance in Ruknun Shadid. The Rukun is the pillar of a house, the angle of a house, where the house depends on. When those people, the evil people of Sadum is in Sham, when they came to those angels who had come to destroy them. Those angels came to Lut first. When they came, yuhra'una ilayhi wa min qablu kanu ya'maluna sayyi'at. Allah called their evil sayyi'at. So yuhra'una ilayhi, they came, they gathered, they ran, because they saw handsome men, not knowing that those men were angels of Allah subhanahu. Not just that they were angels, they have actually come to destroy them. But they had to give instructions to Lut and his family to leave. So that was why they appear as human beings. So when the people of the city saw that these people had arrived the home of Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, it was the wife of Lut who went to announce to the rest of the people that, hey, my husband now has handsome men who have come to visit him. So they came to the house of Lut looking for evil. May Allah protect us all. So when Lut saw them, he says, "Law anna li bikum kuwatan aw awi ila ruknin shadid." Law anna li bikum kuwa. If I wish that I'm able to overpower all of you, because this is a thing of uselessness. Men came to visit me. You now want to come and become indecent. These were the first group of homosexualists in the world. May Allah protect us. Lut alayhi salam was saying, "Law anna li bikum quwwa." Ah, I wish that I have power over you. I can overpower you. Awi ila rukni shadid. Oh, I can find a sort of a means of strength. I can find a sort of what? A means of strength against you. So the scholars have variously explained what does Ruknun Shadid mean. Some said what he meant was a family. I wish that I had family that is large and I can take strength in my family against you if you don't accept what I have brought. And you want to be indecent with people who have come to me as visitors. Law anna li bikum kuwatan. I wish I'm able to confront you alone. How are we ila ruknin shadid, or that I can find a means of strength against you. This was what Lut said regarding his people. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمَا بَعَثَ اللَّهُ بَعْدَهُ مِن نَبِيٍ إِلَّا فِي ثَرْوَةٍ مِن قَوْمِهِ. So subsequently, after Lut alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah did not raise a prophet illa fi tharwatin min qawmihi, except that his people had tharwa. What does tharwa mean? Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Amr ibn Al-Qama, ibn Al-Qama al-Waqa'i, ibn Al-Waqas al-Laythi, he said, As-sarwatu is what al-kathratu wal-mana'atu. When people are large in their number and they have strength, they have mana'a, they can prevent aggression against themselves. So we say they have strength, they have sarwa, they have al-kasra, and then they have what? Al-mana'a, a means of standing firm to prevent aggression against themselves. That is called what? Strength. So they have these two things. So the prophets of Allah, after Lut, they had what? Sarwa. Sarwa is what? A lot of family members. And they have strength. You see, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam was raised in that kind of a family. So people cannot touch him, alayhi salatu wasalam. Why? Quraysh was much to the large family, and they had strength. Quraysh was strong. So you could not just harass the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah began to do that to his prophets from the time of Lut, when he said, Law anna li bikum quwwatan, I wish I'm able to overpower you. Aw awi ila ruknin shadid, or I can find a means of strength. The scholars say what he meant by means of, I wish I had a large family with which myself and them can wage a war against you regarding your homosexuality. May Allah protect us. But the point of reference in this hadith was that the Prophet Muhammad said, Wa rahmatullahi ala Lutin, may Allah show his mercy, may Allah show his compassion upon who? Upon Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. This is the point of reference, that the Prophet prayed for another prophet. Rahmatullahi ala Lut, may Allah show blessings upon Lut alayhi salatu wasalam. That is the point of reference in this hadith. That was why we needed to give us wide explanations about the necessity to make dua for ourselves and make dua for our brothers. The Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that there is not a person of iman yadu'u li akhihi bi dhahri al-ghayb, who makes dua for his brother behind that brother when the brother did not know, illa qala al-malakul muwakkalu, except that the angel in charge begins to say, Ameen, Ameen, Wallaka bi mithlihi. Allah accept your dua. Wallaka, may you also get the like of what you ask from your brother. Look at the Prophet here, alayhi salatu wasalam. He was making dua for Lut, alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa rahmatullahi ala Lut. This is the point of reference. Rahmatullahi ala Lut. So, ikhwa, let us make dua and make dua for our brothers. If you want something, ask that thing for your brother. If you love something, beg Allah for that thing. And let us not always, this is just by way of mentioning it before we call it a day today. Let us not just always ask about this dunya. The Quran berated people who the entirety of their dua is about Rabbana atina fi dunya hasana wa ma lahum fil akhirati min nasib min khalaq. They are always only asking, oh Allah, give us this dunya, give us this dunya. You are just always asking about the issues of the dunya. They forget to ask about akhirah. So let's not forget, when you make dua, beg Allah to make you a righteous person. Beg Allah to make you a knowledgeable person in the path of his religion. Beg Allah to make you a person who is always making adhkar. Like the Prophet taught Muaz ibn Jabal to say, that Allahumma a'inni ala dhikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. He also taught other companions, Allahumma habib ilayna al-iman, Allahumma ati nafsi taqwaha wa zakkiha, anta khairu man zakkaha, anta waliyuha wa mawlaha. The Prophet taught a companion to say that. So let our du'as not just be about dunya. Sometimes our du'as, we don't ask Allah for something until we have a problem. It is when we have a problem that we begin to make the du'a. And the Prophet has told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, that ad-du'a yanfa'u fima nazala wa fima lam yanzil. The du'a is beneficial, whether that thing has happened or that thing has not happened. If it has not happened, dua pushes it away. if it has happened, dua reduces its evil effects on us. May Allah protect us and accept our dua. The point in the lesson today is make dua, O brothers, make dua. Make dua and also make dua for your brothers. So Al-Imam al-Bukhari titled it, Man da'a fi ghayrihi min ad-du'a. Yani yaj'alu ghayrahu fi ad'iyatihi. He would implant, he will fix others amongst his brothers or his sisters or his colleagues or his neighbors. He will fix them in his own dua. So he's actually talking about two things. He's encouraging us to make dua. He's also encouraging us to do what? To make dua for others. Think about it. Ikhwa, if you forget someone you want to make dua for, just don't forget Abu Nasr. Just make dua for him. I think we can ask, we can see some of the questions we are able to answer today and continue with the answers, inshallah. The time is already fast spent, but we can take one or two questions because we had time that we did not... We were not able to have links on the platform.
First question here is, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ya Sheikh. May Allah preserve you upon his faith. Please, is it allowed? Please, is it allowed to change the dua to suit one's gender? For instance, where we have inni abdik to inni amatuk. Jazakumullah khair.
Yes, sometimes if the dua is general. If the dua is general, yes, you can change it. Change it if you're a lady. If a person is a woman, you can change it. You can change those kinds of dhamair. You can change them, inshallah. Because that is intrinsic with the language of Arabic itself. So you can change it easily. I hope that that is clear.
Another question is, please, what if someone feels that they make a lot of dua and the dua is not being answered? Is this feeling correct?
The feeling is not correct. It's just a symbol that you need to make dua more. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said we should not do that. The person who says da'awtu da'awtu wa lam yustajab liya, I've been making dua, my dua has not been answered. So you are being indecent in your approach to dua. Don't be indecent with Allah. He wants you to ask more. Ask again. Ask again, ask again. So your rewards for asking become much more. The more you ask, the more your rewards you gain. Dua itself is ibadah. It's like making nawafil. Dua itself is ibadah. So the more you ask, the more rewards, whether you have gotten what you want or not. If you say, I'm asking and it's not being given, then you are in problem. It's because you don't know what Allah has been doing to you. Maybe an evil. We'll discuss more of this, inshallah, in Adda'u wa Dawa. Why is it that some people think like this? And what is the evil effect of this kind of a thinking? I've been asking Allah, and Allah has not been answering me. What is the evil effect of that on the individual? So don't think like that. The thinking is bad. It is from the thinking of Shaitan. He wants to stop you from making dua. So continue to make the dua until you get what you want. Aisha was describing the condition the Prophet was in, alayhi salatu wasalam. She said, Fada'a, summa da'a, summa da'a. She said it three times. The Prophet started making dua, making dua, making dua, making. If the messenger of Allah was making dua, making dua, making dua until Allah answered. How about us? So make the dua, stop, don't stop making the dua. Make the dua, make the dua. And that's why I usually say most of us, it is when we have a problem, we start running towards dua. Before problems, we don't make dua. So you have very little dua in your bank account, so to speak, in your accounts, because they are there for you. When you need them, Allah gives you them as you need them. Some of the people, unless there's a problem, they now want the dua immediately. They want it now, 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 now. Don't do that. Make dua, make dua, make dua. Hope in Allah. Make dua whether anything has happened or anything has not happened. Be a person who is regularly making dua. لِأَنَّ الدُّعَى يَنْفَعُ فِي مَا نَزَلَ وَفِي مَا لَمْ يَنْزِلُ. The dua is beneficial regarding things that have happened and things that have not happened at all. So don't stop making dua. Don't stop making dua. The day you start feeling, I've been making dua, it's not been answered, you are being indecent. It is part of indecency. Bad manners with Allah in terms of your dua. Let me give us an illustration. You find yourself in the sitting room, so to speak, the parlor of the president. They didn't send you away, and you came for a need. Would you like to go out of the place when your need has not been fulfilled? You came to the president's villa. You came to his private room or his sitting room where he stays with his family. You are there. They give you food. They give you drink. They give you everything. Nobody sent you out. You need to see the president, but you have not seen him. Nobody sent you away. When you want to sleep, they provide you sleep ability. You want to eat food, they serve you food. Nobody sent you away. Will you go away? So when you ask Allah, ask him, ask him. Continue to ask until you get what you want. Yeah. Allah provide us our dua. I got a word that one of our elders from amongst the people of knowledge in Nigeria, Professor Abdulrazak Alaru, will be marrying his daughter out today in Ilorin. May Allah bless the marriage for the girl and for her husband, and make it a means of goodness for them. I think that's, for me, one way to start making dua for my brothers, so that Allah blesses me with the like of what I make dua for them. So may Allah accept that dua. May Allah bless the girl, bless the marriage, bless the professor with sound health, with good memory, retentive, with more righteousness, more wisdom, more knowledge, more goodness, more sadaqah to jariya upon goodness. May Allah strengthen his iman, make him end upon goodness. Whenever he will meet Allah, may Allah be pleased with him. Jazawullahu khairan, jazawullahu anil muslimina khairan. May Allah reward him for the benefit that he has gained to a lot of people. May Allah make it a means of goodness for him in this world and hereafter. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.